Okay, so today we're diving into a fascinating look at freedom in Christianity. We're exploring Jacques Ellul's The Ethics of Freedom. And I'll be honest, this isn't your typical self-help freedom talk. Ellul takes us way beyond breaking free from limitations and unleashing our potential. I was honestly caught off guard by some of his arguments. How about you?
Definitely. Ellul really flips the script on how we even understand freedom in the first place. He makes this question, if our modern ideas of freedom, you know, limitless options, no constraints, if those ideas are actually masking something much deeper.
It's almost like we're looking for freedom in all the wrong places.
Exactly. Like when Ellul contrasts Christian freedom with the Stoic concept of freedom, for example.
Yeah.
Stoicism emphasizes self-control, you know, using rational thought as the path to freedom. But Ellul argues that true Christian freedom, it actually comes from a place of recognizing our lack of control and surrendering to something far greater than ourselves.
So it's less about mastering ourselves and more about surrendering to a higher power. That's a pretty radical shift in perspective.
Absolutely. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Ellul connects this whole understanding of freedom directly to the fall.
Okay.
He argues that humanity's separation from God, stemming from the fall, is intertwined with all those different forms of bondage that we experience today.
Wow. I never thought about it like that before. You mean like how we can be so easily controlled by technology or by money or even just societal expectations? It's almost as if the fall messed up our internal freedom software or something like that.
Exactly. Ellul calls these controlling forces the powers.
Mm-hmm.
And these powers, they're everywhere. Take technology, for instance. It seems like it's all about connection and empowerment. But then it often ends up controlling our time, our attention, even our thoughts.
Yeah, it's true. Sometimes I feel like my phone is the one holding me hostage rather than the other way around. And it's not just technology, right? Ellul also talks about the power of money.
Right.
We chase after financial security thinking it will bring us freedom, but it can easily become an obsession in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Money is a perfect example. It can dictate our choices, our values, even our relationships. You know, we end up working jobs we hate, living in places we don't love, all for this sense of financial security. But then that security, it never seems to deliver on its promise of freedom.
And here's something that really struck me when I was reading this. Ellul even puts traditional morality in that powers category. You know, like those rigid rules and social expectations that are supposed to bring order. But then they often end up stifling genuine expression.
Absolutely. He's saying that even things that seem good on the surface, like traditional morality, they can become tools for control. And ultimately, they end up limiting our freedom instead of promoting it.
So then how do we actually find true freedom if it's not about having unlimited options or breaking free from every constraint? What is it then, according to Ellul?
Well, Ellul's view is that true freedom isn't about just magically removing all constraints. It's about a much deeper change. It's a fundamental shift in the heart, a new orientation that's rooted in Christ's liberating work. And this shift, it empowers us to navigate that tension between God's kingdom and all the pressures of this world.
Okay, I think I understand what you mean. But that sounds incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
How do we reconcile this idea of freedom existing in a world that often seems designed for bondage?
Right.
It's like, how do we live in the world but not be of it?
That's a great question. And to explain it, Ellul uses a rather surprising analogy. He compares Christ's liberation to a Marxist revolution.
Whoa, now that's a curveball I wasn't expecting. How on earth does that work? Those two things seem like polar opposites.
It's actually a brilliant comparison when you think about it. Ellul highlights that both Christ's liberation and the Marxist vision of revolution, they both recognize that humanity is in a state of alienation. They both see the need for a radical break from oppressive structures, and they both aim for a kind of liberation. But there's a crucial difference. Marxism, it seeks liberation through human effort, right? Through like seizing power and restructuring society from the ground up.
But Christianity, it locates that source of freedom outside of ourselves.
Exactly. Ellul argues that true freedom, it comes from surrendering to a power beyond ourselves. It's not something we can earn or achieve through our own efforts. It's a gift freely given through Christ's sacrifice.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Hmm.
But how does this kind of radical freedom actually play out in our everyday lives? Like, what does it look like to live as a free person in a world that so often feels anything but free?
That's where things get really practical. Ellul challenges us to embrace a life of service, love, and even transgression. He emphasizes the responsibility that comes with true freedom. It's not about escaping from the world, but about learning how to live in the world without being consumed by it.
So it's not about withdrawing from the world entirely, but about maybe engaging with it differently.
Exactly. And he uses this great phrase, using as though not using, especially when he talks about technology. It's about engaging with these tools and systems, but not letting them master us.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, I can use my phone to stay connected to people and access information, but I don't have to let it dictate my every waking moment.
Precisely. We're called to be discerning, to use our freedom to serve God and others, not to be enslaved by our own desires or the systems around us.
And this all ties back to what you were saying earlier about freedom not being about unlimited choices, right? But about a shift in our orientation, a change in our desires to be aligned with God's will, even when it's difficult or requires us to make sacrifices.
Exactly. And that brings us to another really crucial aspect of Alleel's thinking, the inseparable connection between freedom and our responsibility to others.
So it's not just about our own individual freedom, but about how that freedom impacts the people around us.
Absolutely. Alleel argues that you can't have true Christian freedom without love and responsibility toward our neighbors. He wants us to think about how even our seemingly small personal choices can have a ripple effect on other people.
Can you give me an example? How does that play out in real life?
Well, let's take relationships, for instance. Alleel would say that true freedom in a relationship isn't about always getting our way or putting our own desires first.
It's about taking the other person's needs into account, valuing their well-being as much as our own.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that their freedom matters just as much as ours. And that can be really tough because it requires us to sometimes sacrifice our own desires for the good of the other person.
And it's not just our personal relationships, right? Alleel applies this to how we engage with social structures and institutions as well.
Absolutely. He gets that systems and institutions are important. You know, they're necessary for human society function. But he also recognizes how easily they can become corrupted. So he challenges us to engage with these structures critically but constructively.
It's like finding that balance between pushing back against oppressive structures while also working within them to promote a more just and equitable society for everyone.
Exactly. Like, he was very critical of the sexual revolution. Mm. He argued that while it presented itself as this movement of liberation, it actually led to greater bondage for a lot of people.
That's a pretty bold statement. What was his reasoning behind that?
Alleel strongly believed that true freedom cannot be separated from love and respect for others. And that applies even, or maybe especially, to something as deeply personal as sexuality.
So he wasn't saying that sexuality should be repressed or anything like that, but that it should be approached with a sense of responsibility and respect for both ourselves and the other person.
Precisely. He was concerned that this pursuit of unrestrained sexual freedom, often fueled by a desire for personal gratification, could actually become dehumanizing.
So for Alleel, true freedom in this area would mean recognizing the inherent dignity and value of every person, respecting their boundaries, acting with love and responsibility, rather than just pursuing our own desires without any regard for the consequences.
Exactly. And again, this idea applies not just to our personal relationships, but also to how we interact with those larger social structures and institutions.
It's about being willing to ask ourselves, have these rules, these traditions, become obstacles to truly loving God and loving others?
Exactly.
That's a tall order, to be honest. It can feel pretty overwhelming. Where do we even begin? How do we develop that kind of discernment to know when to challenge the status quo and when to work within the existing structures?
Well, Alleel doesn't really offer us any easy answers. You know, he's not about giving us a step-by-step guide. He's more focused on helping us ask the right questions and encouraging us to cultivate a posture of critical engagement and humble questioning. And this is where things start to get really challenging, I think, because he doesn't shy away from the uncomfortable realities of what it means to live in true freedom.
And you mentioned earlier that true freedom involves a certain level of transgression, which, to be honest, sounds a bit risky. Can you explain what Alleel meant by that?
This is where Alleel really pushes us beyond our comfort zones. But it's important to understand that he's not advocating for reckless rule breaking for its own sake. It's about a willingness to challenge the norms, even within the church, when those norms become obstacles to truly living out the gospel.
So it's about being willing to ask those tough questions, to challenge the status quo, even when it's uncomfortable or makes us unpopular.
Yes, exactly. And that requires a lot of discernment, like we were talking about. We need to be willing to wrestle with difficult questions, to be open to the Spirit's leading, even when it goes against what's expected of us or what makes us feel safe and secure.
It sounds like Alleel is calling us to a very active faith, wouldn't you say? One that requires constant engagement, reflection, and a willingness to step outside of our comfort zones.
Absolutely. True freedom, it's not about reaching some final destination where we have it all figured out. It's an active, ongoing process. It's about wrestling with complex realities and making difficult choices again and again.
This is really making me think about all those times I've kind of just played it safe, you know? Like staying silent when I maybe should have spoken up.
Yeah.
Or following a rule when, honestly, my gut was telling me something wasn't quite right. It's like I was so afraid of the consequences, you know, of rocking the boat or making waves. But maybe I was actually sacrificing a deeper freedom by doing that.
I think that's exactly the kind of self-reflection that Alul is encouraging us to do. And yeah, it's not always easy or comfortable, but I think it's often in those moments of questioning and discomfort that we discover a deeper, more authentic freedom.
So then how does this whole idea of transgression, of pushing back against what's expected, actually work in real life?
It
seems like it could so easily lead to chaos, you know, or people just doing whatever they want in the name of freedom without any regard for others.
Oh, absolutely. And Alul was very aware of that danger. He wasn't advocating for some kind of like free for all or anything goes. He believed very strongly that true transgression always has to be rooted in love. And it has to be guided by the spirit, not by our own selfish desires. It's about seeking a deeper alignment with God's will, even when it means challenging the status quo or going against the grain.
So it's about discerning, like we were talking about before, when those norms or structures have become barriers to actually loving God and loving the people around us.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that sometimes the most loving and faithful thing we can do is to challenge those structures, to push back against those norms that are causing harm or preventing others from experiencing the fullness of life that God intends for them.
This whole conversation has really challenged me to rethink my entire understanding of freedom. It's not about the absence of constraints, but about this deep alignment with God's will. Even when it's hard, even when it costs us something.
And I think that's where Alul's perspective offers so much hope. Because true freedom, it's not something we have to muster up on our own. It's a gift freely given to us through Christ. And it's in that surrendering and letting go of our need to control everything or earn our own worthiness that we actually open ourselves up to experiencing that true freedom that comes from living in relationship with God.
This deep dive into Alul's work has been, I'll be honest, both challenging and incredibly insightful.
Me too. It's always exciting to revisit his ideas.
It's definitely given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same way.
As you continue to reflect on Alul's ideas, I wonder if there are any limits in your own life, dear listener, that you feel called to transgress. And I don't mean in a rebellious way, but out of a sincere desire to more fully live into that freedom that Christ offers. That's something for all of us to consider as we go about our lives.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.